The first flight of the Franco-British Concorde supersonic passenger aircraft took place 50 years ago this month. The anniversary was marked at the Museum of Air and Aerospace at Le Bourget Airport near Paris by pilots, passengers and stewards who worked or travelled on Concorde. Correspondent Dhananjay Kandilkar reports.
It was a very impressive aircraft. 50 years ago, people in France followed the first takeoff of the Concorde because it was a national affair. I had the opportunity to fly on this machine in Air France. It was in 84. Through it's a very different plane comparison with the subsonic ones. Every flight was exceptional.
That was Pierre Grange reminiscing about the first time he piloted a Concorde, the iconic aircraft that could travel at twice the speed of sound. It cruised at 2,100 kilometers per hour at an altitude of 60,000 feet. Breaking the sound barrier gave the Concorde its signature supersonic boom. Among the two Concorde aircrafts at the museum is the model FWTSS, a prototype that successfully took to the skies on March 2, 1969, in Toulouse.
Concorde is not only an aircraft who fly faster and higher than the subsonic one, it's an aircraft which have two different flight domains. He fly in subsonic and at a moment he decide to go to the supersonic area. We accelerate, we climb and we transfer fuel rearward to maintain the static stability of the aircraft. And after that, when we arrive at Mach 1.7, we stop the post-combustions and we are alone in a special world which is very higher than the subsonic ones, faster than them. We are alone on a flight from Paris to Kennedy. There was a maximum of two Concordes over the Atlantic. The subsonic flights, there is a lot of aircraft flying at the same time.
The Concorde boasted multiple cutting-edge technologies. The frame was made of lightweight aluminium alloy. It had double delta wings and highly streamlined fuselage for high aerodynamic efficiency. It was powered by four engines with afterburners and also had computer-controlled systems to ensure maximum engine and aerodynamic efficiency during a flight. All this contributed to Concorde breaking the sound speed barrier and cutting down the transatlantic travel time by half. But it also meant that the plane could carry only 100 passengers in a single flight. Its interior was also cramped compared to the subsonic passenger aircrafts. The ceiling height was only 6.4 feet, while the width was 8.6 feet, with a 2x2 sitting configuration along a single aisle. This made the jobs of stewards a lot more intense. Alain, who worked as a purser on Concorde flights from 1989 to 2003, recounts his experience.
In Concorde, you have not so much time. 2 hours and 50 minutes working time, so it's very short. For a full service with a starter, entree, dessert, coffee, tea, after dinner drinks, and duty-free, and cloakroom service. We also have a private cloakroom service on board, so you return all the jacket and everything.
You know, during the running time at Roissy-Charles de Gaulle, you have to prepare for the aperitif. The welcome drink.
100 different aperitifs on board, so it takes a long time to prepare.
However, for Ella and his colleague Kim Gatin, every bit of the experience was enjoyable.
We enjoyed very much. It was tense, but it was positive tense, not negative. And everybody enjoyed very much working and traveling on this plane.
What made their experience even more special was meeting celebrities on these flights.
Michael Jackson.
Hey, Charles.
Judy Foster, Thierry Mugler, Grace Jones, Paul Newman,
yes. Gérard Depardieu,
Catherine Deneuve,
Carole Bouquet.
For many passengers too, a Concorde flight is a treasured memory. Jean-François Louis took a Paris-New York return trip on Concorde in May 2003. He says two sensations stand out.
The extraordinaire de Concorde, c'est que au décollage,
during takeoff, the plane accelerates so quickly, it just gets stronger and stronger. The other remarkable experience is watching the Earth from the windows. You can see the roundness of the globe. It's absolutely magnificent. It's something you can't see from any other plane.
Despite its impressive speed and performance, the Concorde flew for the last time in October 2003. Multiple factors contributed to the ending of the program. Commercial feasibility, environmental concerns, and a crash in the year 2000 that killed 113 people. Pierre Grange says he had mixed feelings about the end of the Concorde program.
In my mind, there is two parts. The first part is I am sad. That's true, especially because it was after a tragic accident. But on the other side, Concorde should have been replaced earlier, but it was impossible to make another supersonic carrier. That's why he flew so long time, 26 years.
He says it will be difficult to have a passenger plane like Concorde in the near future.
You can't fly a supersonic flight over the ground. You have to fly only a supersonic over the sea. So it's very difficult to make money when you are in Frankfurt. You have to fly supersonic up to the sea and accelerate after. That's the problem of the sonic boom. And the second problem is the fuel consumption.
Concorde was an engineering marvel that was created in the same year when man landed on the moon for the first time. As Grange says, Concorde was a marker of an era when turning dreams into reality was possible. Dhananjay Khadilkar, RFI, Paris.